There is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions all over each face. And I know it's the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Lord. Come and stay right here. Fill us with your love. And for these blessings, we just lift holy hands of praise and thanks unto you, because we know that we have been revived. And when we leave this place, your spirit will continue to imbibe in our hearts all the days of our life. Lord, I come before you this hour, inviting your spirit to speak through me. Speak words of wisdom, so that hearts may be changed, all to the glory of your name. Thank you, Father, once more. And may you have all the glory, may you have all the praise, may you have all the adoration. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, please open to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, and I crave your indulgence that we all stand together so we can reverence the reading of God's holy word. Galatians chapter 4, reading from verse 4 to 7. I'm reading from the King James version of the Bible. Galatians chapter 4, if you are there, say amen. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hands, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Go back to the fifth verse. Go back to the fifth verse to say, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. Now just share the time on text with your neighbor. Just say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, I am now in the family. You may be seated in the presence of God. We are in the second month of the new year, 2021. And for many of us, we still have that anxious moment what this year is going to be like. Some are already disappointed, saying, it's just a new year, but it's the same old thing. Nothing has changed. Even though it's a new season, but it's still the same thing we are going through. We are still being locked down. We are still being contained. We are still trying to manage our affairs, even through this pandemic. And for some people, they still cannot fathom why this has to happen. Some had the expectation that a new year will bring changes. But we as Christians, we are firmly aware that God is still in control. Amen? God is still in control. So the fact that God is still in the blessing business, even though people are dying, even though people are sick, even though people can't do what we want to do, but God is still blessing you. Amidst this pandemic, how many people got married? How many people had children? How many people had promotion in their work? How many people moved from one area to another? Even though people are dying, God is still blessing you. Because when God gets to that blessing business, even though things are on that side, he's still blessing you. And so we tend to wonder and marvel and ask ourselves, what kind of God is this? The God who, on one hand, people are dying, but on another hand, people are being blessed. If you've entered matrimony, that first few moments, when you get into that stage, when they are calling you the bride and groom, everything is rosy. Everything is there. In my country, we have an expression to say there's a difference between a wedding and a marriage. The wedding is when you come with the whites and the bride, they call you bride. The marriage is after the honeymoon. That's when the marriage starts. So you ask yourself this question, I have moved from one level to another. I am no longer a spinster. I am no longer a bachelor. I have moved into a new family. Now what? What happens next? How do I start my life as I move from one level to another level? Christmas is gone. Jesus Christ is born. All the prophecies from Isaiah, Jeremiah, to Malachi, to Micah, all the prophecies of the promised Messiah, Jesus is now here. Now what? In the Gospels, Matthew and Luke, they gave a detailed narrative of before, during, and after the birth of Christ. They gave all kinds of narrative things that we struggle to even comprehend. But then when we look into our text in Galatians, Paul referenced the birth of Christ in a different way. Because when you read the book of Galatians, I said this some time ago, the book of Galatians is not just one of Paul's ordinary letters. Book of Galatians is what the biblical scholars call Paul's angry letter. Because when you read Galatians, you see Paul using strong words. Paul was angry. And when you talk about anger, you don't reference anger and Paul in the same bracket. If you look at the disciples and you say somebody who is angry, we all look at Peter. Like, for example, if you're not in church and somebody tells you, Pastor Badise and Brother Muindo were involved in a fight, you will wonder, you will say, okay, Brother Muindo, he has muscles. He has some tendency that if you cross him, he might knock you down. But Pastor Badise is that quiet gentleman. So you hear they say, Pastor Badise slapped somebody. You will wonder, what did that person do for Pastor Badise, that quiet gentleman, to lose his anger? This is some kind of thing that we reference. Because Paul is that quiet, docile, reformed Christian. In actual fact, Paul is boring. Paul is preaching and somebody fell off, slipping and fell down and died. That must have been some boring sermon for somebody to fall asleep and fall down and die. This is Paul. But we see an angry Paul using words to the people of Galatia, calling them foolish. So you tend to ask yourself this question. What did they do? What did they do that had Paul to lose his cool? All right, let me tell you, to give you a background of this sermon. After Paul had established his church in Galatia, a group of Christians called themselves Judaizers came back and reversed Paul's teaching, telling them that you cannot be a Gentile and be accepted by Christ. For you to be enter Christ's kingdom, you have to be a Jew and you have to be circumcised according to Jewish traditions. In other words, the New Testament doesn't exist. You have to go back to the olden days of the law under Moses. So they started doing things that were in contravention to the New Testament. And Paul is angry, saying that after all these years I've spent with you teaching you, how could you let some people just come and you change like that? And this is what we find in the world today, that many of us live like that. We just need to listen to one person and all what we've learned, we change. And Paul is angry and even asked them, oh, you foolish Galatians, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? So we look at this and we tell in the text that Paul begins to teach them now that, okay, I've taught you this before, but let me reiterate. And to understand Galatians 4, you have to go back to Galatians chapter 3. If you read the last bottom part, you will see how he ends, is that how he introduced the first part. So he says in Galatians that you do not need to become a Jew to be a Christian. Because in the body of Christ, as long as we've all accepted Christ, as long as we've all put on the mantle of Christ, we are all one. Amen? We are all one. Whether you are black, whether you are white, whether you are pink, whether you are Indian, whether you are of this tribe or you are of that tribe, whether you are rich or poor, as long as you have been baptized in Christ, you are in Christ. Amen? So you want to ask yourself this question. So what is the guarantee that Paul is giving me today to know that I have moved into a new family. What is that assurance that I have that I've moved into a new family? Baptist, 3 points. Let's go. Point number one, that the assurance that I have that I've been moved to a new family is I have been redeemed. Amen? Let's say that together. I have been redeemed. As I said, I've come to that realization that a lot of people still live their lives as though we are still in the old covenant. This is the reason why we have so many fights in church. People fighting for positions in church. Because we are of this nature that we have to do something to actually get God's attention. And there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. There is nothing you can do to make God love you less. But your ways will displease him. Amen? Your ways will displease him. So Paul is trying to tell the Galatians that you have been redeemed. And how have you redeemed? In chapter 3, verse 13, Paul said this: Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen? Christ has redeemed us from that curse. The curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us. If you look at the text, it says that we are slaves. We were slaves. We were in bondage. But because Christ has come, the reason Christ come is for us to move from that level of slavery, and he's put us to another level. He's redeemed you from the curse of the law. And the fundamentals of being a Christian, the New Testament Christian, is you have to get that realization that you no longer live under the law. You are no longer bound under the law. You no longer live. You are now a New Testament Christian. So stop talking about, we have a history in our family of curses. Stop talking about, we have a history of diabetes in our family. My great-grandfather died of diabetes. My great-great-grandfather died of diabetes. So it's possible that my father has it and I'm going to have it. Stop doing that thing because you are not your father. You are not your mother. Yes, your father may have died of that disease. Yes, your mother may have died of that addiction. But hey, our cases are all different. Your case is different. My case is different. Our all case is different because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen? Christ has redeemed us from that curse. So set your mind to the knowledge and to the renewal of your mind that you're no longer that person. You're no longer bound to that chain. You are no longer bound to that bloodline because you have been set free when Christ broke the bondage of chain. You are no longer a slave because you have been redeemed. Amen? Some people are still quiet. So let's just do this quick declaration. Just put your hands like this. Hold your hands like this. And say that bold declaration. I have been redeemed. I have been redeemed. I am free. I am blessed. The blessing is working in me. The blessing is working through me. The blessing is working for me. And it's all because of Jesus. And it's all because of Jesus. I don't know who I came to preach to this morning. I don't know who I came to speak to this morning. But let me reassure you that what God has blessed, no man, what God has blessed, no man can curse. I have been redeemed, and it's all because of Jesus. First point, I have been redeemed. Second point, he tells us that since I'm no longer a slave, I've been moved to another level. And what is that level? It says, I have a new name. I have a new name. Let's say that together. I have a new name. In the olden days, most of them, they call them slave. So we are no longer be called slave. Now what are we going to be called? Son. Forget about whether you are a woman or you are still a son. Because I know some people like, you are sons and daughters in Christ. Amen? They call you, the text says, if you put the text up, Galatians chapter 4, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We are now sons. And when we are sons, we've got to act like our father owns the place. I am now a son. I've got to act like my father owns the place. I've got to act like how a son should behave in his father's house. I don't know if you've heard this expression before, old school parenting. Old school parenting. The way our parents used to teach us, you know, when we were growing up. Now they have new school parenting like timeout. We didn't have timeout. Timeout is the time when they whip you from the ground and you get up to run to go to your room. That's your timeout. We didn't have any of those things. I remember I moved out of my parents' house when I was 21. I went to live with a friend who was sharing a house, went through university, and then I started working. And I started like, okay, I'm going to move to another place. And the place wasn't ready yet, so I had to move back to my father's house. So I was there on a Friday. My friends called. We normally sit in the office having a few drinks, and one drink, and we stayed late. And by the time I got to the house, it was late. I got to that house. Everywhere was closed. Knock, 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 knock. It took a while before my father came, and he opened the door. And he stood on the door like this. Where are you from? And I burst out laughing. Because I don't know how many years I've lived on my own. Nobody asked me where I'm going, where I'm coming, anything. And my father looked at me and said, look here. This is my house. This is my rule. I don't care whether you live on your own before or you're working or you're a big man. But as long as you're living in my house, it's my house and my rules. If you don't tell me where you're going or you're coming late, you will sleep outside. You still think I'm talking about, but I'm talking about the father's house. When you're a son living in your father's house, you play by the rules. And the rules are, weeping only endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When you're in father's house, you know that all things work together for my good. When you are living in the father's, you know he supplies your needs according to riches in glory. When you live in your father's house, you know by his stripes I am healed. When you live in the father's house, you know that though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil because you are in your father's house. He protects you, he guides you, he leads you because you are in your father's house. That is a big, big amen in some churches. You are living in your father's house. So in your father's house, you play by rules. And the only thing, according to the text, that will keep you safe in your father's house, the text says in verse 6, that he poured the Holy Spirit on you. He poured the Holy Spirit on you because, believe you me, when you move to a new family, it's only the Holy Spirit that can keep you safe from your in-laws. Are there any in-laws in the house? It's only through that grace, because sometimes you have some in-laws that will look at you, they don't like you. But because you have that Holy Spirit in you, and why is that important? Because when God put the Holy Spirit, he puts it in your heart. It puts it in your heart, and you know the attributes of the heart because it's the heart that loves. So it's only through that love that when your in-laws upset you, that you will know what to fight back. You will just keep quiet because of that love. It's only because of that love that even in the church, that though you are being persecuted, you still have that love of the Holy Spirit in you that will keep you grounded. It's only that love that even though you are singing in the choir, things are not going your way, but you're still singing because you still have that love. And the text says, Abba Father. Abba Father is a cry of a fatherhood. A fatherhood talking to his children, say how you should behave even as sons and daughters in the house. So the point is, we need that Holy Spirit to keep us safe, to keep us going. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us. We need the Holy Spirit in all we do, because that is the only thing that can keep us together safely. Amen? That is the only thing that can keep us safely. And even though some people actually don't want the Holy Spirit, they are frightened by the Holy Spirit, but Jesus says one very important thing in the book of Matthew. He said one of the greatest sins that is unforgivable is when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. In Matthew, when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. I have a sister friend once. Every time I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, she will tell me, it is your mind that is playing on you. So one day, she was applying for a job in a Christian organization. Click, 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 type, type, type. And then they asked her the question, have you received the Holy Spirit? And she clicked, yes. On the next slide, they asked her, give us an example of your encounter with the Holy Spirit. And she was blocked. And then she called Paul William. I need your help, bro. I said, what is it? I came. And she's like, I'm doing this application. I said, mm-hmm. Said, now they asked me to give an encounter example of the Holy Spirit. And I said, mm-hmm. I said, you've already acted. Well, I don't know how the Holy Spirit behaves. I said, so what do you want me to do? He said, well, you give me, give you an example of the Holy Spirit. Me and the Holy Spirit is our relationship. You and the Holy Spirit, and you want me to blaspheme. So I don't understand. You want to lie against the Holy Spirit? I don't know how that's going to work. We need the Holy Spirit as Christians because it's that only Spirit that can keep us together. Turn to the next one and say, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit for guidance, for protection, for deliverance. You need the Holy Spirit to keep you as a son and as a daughter. Amen? So, that's the assurance. Number one, we have been redeemed. Number two, we have a new name. And number three is the song we sang during praise. I am a heir. I am a heir. For those of us who don't know English, heir is beneficiary. Like when somebody is dying and they write a will to say, when I die, you will have a house. So you are the beneficiary. We are all heirs of the kingdom. Amen? Now look at the process of the text. From slave to son to heir. That's the wonderful power of God. Remember when I preached last year about fruit? From no fruit to fruit, from fruit. That's God's divine grace. Because God always wants us to have more. We have been redeemed from bondage to made into a son, but he doesn't stop at that. He said, no, my son, you have more potential. So come near and take a seat at the table of kings. The scripture tells us that we have been made joint heirs with Christ. We are now royal. So imagine what I told you. If you are a son, you have to behave as if your father owns the house. Now you are royal. You are a king. You are a queen. You've got to start acting as a queen. You have to start acting like a king. And what a king does, he talks, he walks, and he moves with authority. He talks, he walks, and moves with authority. And what is that authority? I-T-N-O-J. Let me see how smart you are. I-T-N-O-J. You know police officers, when they are executing the rule, they will remove their badge and show you. Like in LA, they say, LAPD. I mean, I'm under the authority of the LAPD. As Christians, we have the authority of I-T-N-O-J. Nobody. In the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, man. No. Wake up. I-T-N-O-J. In the name of Jesus. That's our authority. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. In the name of Jesus, blind eyes open. In the name of Jesus, take your responsibility. In the name of Jesus, move. I'm sick and tired of Christians holding in the name of Jesus, yet they are afraid. Sick and tired of Christians holding in the name of Jesus, yet they are complaining that they are sick. You have the authority. Use it. You have the authority. Use it. Christ has given us that authority that in his name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is the one true and living God. Use your authority in the name of Jesus. Use your authority in the name of Jesus. I love Spider-Man. One of my favorite lines in Spider-Man is when Uncle Ben told Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. So one of the attributes of living as a king or a queen, not everybody is worthy of your response. There are certain things that you have to let go. There are certain things that you have to let slide. When you're growing up, if you are 40 years and above, you will fit into this category briefly. Because when you get to 40, you don't try to please anybody anymore. They say life starts at 40. You've heard that expression. At 40, you don't have to explain yourself to anybody. At 40, you move with the realization that I am now walking towards a particular goal. You start living your life tailored around a particular project and focused. Like before, if you make a party and you don't invite me, I'll probably not talk to you. Now, if you make a party and you don't invite me, I thank you. Because A, I will probably have not gone. Or two, I will find another excuse. And even if I make a party and I don't invite you, I don't owe you an explanation. That means I didn't want you. At a particular stage, you have to live that life that's saying that, no, I am now using my authority. Have you ever seen a king apologize? Nah. We are now royals. We move in that authority that we know who we are in Christ. So rather than wasting your time explaining to other people, rather than wasting your time, because you know, the higher you move to another level, the more enemies you attract. The higher you move in the ladder, the more enemies you attract. By the way, new levels, I changed my car. I got another car. And the moment I started driving, some people started telling me, hey, bro, man, you're leaving. The moment you tell people that you are getting married, how the hell did she pull that one off? The moment you tell her that you got a promotion, what did he or she do to get that promotion? That's the new level that we move in. And the moment you move to a new moment, you attract new criticism. And there's nothing you can do to change people's opinion about you. Stop wasting your time trying to convince people to like you. Some people will just not like you because they don't like you. So rather than wasting your time trying to explain to them how you got there, use your time and energy to worship the God who got you there. That's the deepest thing I've said in this sermon. Rather than wasting your time trying to explain to people how you got that car, how you got that promotion, use that time to worship God, to worship the King of Kings, to exalt his name, because he's the one who made ways for you where there's no way. He's the one who opened doors when doors were shut. So he has all the glory, he has all the praise, because he's made you a heir. He puts you on that throne of grace to say you are seated with kings. So you are now a king. Act like one, walk like one, speak like one, because you are now in the company of kings. And your allegiance is to the person who made it possible. And that's Jesus. And that's Jesus. There is nobody like Jesus. There is nobody like Jesus. Let me close with this analogy. You know, there's a people who make pen. The pen. There's a famous pen called Mont Blanc. Mont Blanc. M-O-N-T-B-L-A-N-C. It's a French word. They make pens. And this pen is, for some reason, they say, when you use it, it adjusts itself to your writing so that you write properly. That's what presidents, kings, CEOs, that's what they use. The cheapest Mont Blanc pen is $300. The most expensive is about $3,500 for a pen. Let me say this. When I'm ready to leave Sebeka, if you plan on buying me a pen, give me the money. So, we had a chief who was leaving the office. You know, it's difficult to buy gifts for rich people. So we said, okay, this guy, everybody loved the chief. So let's buy him a pen. And we put his name on it and from us. So we need to buy a Mont Blanc pen. So we made a budget of $500 to buy the pen. So we sat in the, my boss was sitting. And then four of us who were in the committee, we came back over him and we were looking at the pen. We went to the site, Mont Blanc. And we started looking, okay, no, this 3,000, hell no. No, we got to where our budget starts fitting. And then he stopped and said, wait a minute. I have this same pen. I can't believe my wife spent $750 to buy me a pen. So we all looked at him. Where did you put it? And he said, I have no idea where I threw it. And he opened the drawer and started searching. Looking there, he was sweating. And now he realized that this pen that I've thrown away has so much value. He started looking. He confused. He could not walk. He went home. We did not see him again until the next day. The next morning, he showed up at work with a big smile on his face. And the pen which he had thrown away, he writes there in his pocket. And he put there with a big smile of saying, I found my pen. Now he knows the value of it. Now that thing that he had thrown away, he put it on his heart. That's the Jesus we're talking about. That sometimes we ignore the Jesus. But Jesus, that when you realize that on that cross, that Jesus died for you, he took away all your sins. And our allegiance now, when we know the worth of Jesus, we put him close to our heart. We put him close to our heart. We say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you for making it possible for me to, you redeemed me. You made me a son, and now you've made me a heir. I don't know who I came to preach to this morning. I don't know who I came to speak to this morning. But if you've been going through things, Please keep Jesus close to your heart, because he's the only one that can lead you out of it. He's the only one that can save you out of it. 2,000 years ago, he bled on that cross and he cried, "It is finished." Every area of your life, he took care of. So our allegiance is just to praise him. I'm born a winner, more than victorious. I'm a head of a kingdom, filled with the Holy Spirit. So once again, I rejoice in him. Let's see who's going to rejoice this morning. I rejoice in him. Stand up and let's sing that song again. I rejoice in him. I'm born of a winner. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I rejoice in him. No, I rejoice in him. I'm going to dance. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to declare him as he is the one true savior of my life. No weapon, nothing that the enemy plan will form against me. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Can you rejoice clapping for the Lord? Woo! Making some noise for the Lord.